Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho, H to the O-V. I used to move snowflakes by the O-Z. I guess even back then you can call me CEO of the R-O-C. Ho.
Welcome guys, welcome back to GG Sports. I'm your host CJ Luna here, and we're going to get right back into the action. There's so much stuff that has been happening over the past week. I say that every week, but it's more true now than ever. I'm finally getting news that I could actually report on. For example, the MLB playoffs are coming up very, very shortly. There's like four games, three games left in the regular season right now at the time I'm posting this. But it's like, I'm so intrigued right now, especially in my division, which is the American League East, to see if the Yankees are going to go over to Blue Jays, because I don't know how they do it. Excuse me, but I don't know how they do it, but they're able to win so greatly right now. They have the tiebreaker over us right now. We're both sitting at 90 and 68. It's like those next couple of games kind of determine like who gets like the winner of the division. I mean, either way, I feel like we're still going to go to the divisional round, but you know, it's just that added safety of like, hey, we're going to be kind of straight with who we face at that position. Another thing is, all I care about, though, is that the Red Sox do not make the playoffs. That's all I care. Because I hate them dudes. I hate them bros. Like, I hate them. Because, you know, the rivalry, Yankees, Red Sox, we just don't agree with each other. We don't, and we hate each other's team. It's in our DNA. Well, I think we personally have a better rivalry with each other than versus the Dodgers, like. This is just a recent rivalry, in my opinion. We, like, the Yankees and Red Sox have gone back for the past 100 years. So, that's all I'm saying about that. It looks like, right now, we're first in the AL East. Like, whoever wins this conference, basically, gets that divisional hold. When we go to the National League, though, I didn't even know this. I had no idea this was happening, but apparently the Brewers are sitting number one in that division in the NLC. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that, but they're sitting number one at 96 and 63, which is kind of insane because usually we would see a team hit at least 100 every year. I checked the stats already, but it's not possible for them to at least hit that, but not a single team has hit 100 wins. Just something that was, you know, off my mind. I was just like, wow, that's interesting right there. But also, when you look at this too, I have not heard anything about the Brewers all season. I'll be straight with y'all. I don't know if it's in the way the MLB promotes their stuff. I don't know if it's in the way that they want to market their products or it's not a big market. But if you're 96 and 63 and you're the number one team in the entire like MLB, shouldn't you get marketed more? I don't know. What do I know? I'm just a guy who talks sports. Then you got the Phillies, hate them bros, and then Dodgers, obviously. I hate talking about them, but both of them have clinched the playoff spot so far. Dodgers sit number one in the NL West. They're right now in front of the Padres right now. Interesting battle right there. Especially with the Padres only being two games behind, it's a possibility that they could actually come back and actually take hold of that division if they win out. It very much depends on how the Dodgers do in the next upcoming games, but it's going to be interesting to see how that exactly goes out. Anyway, I'm going to shift from the MLB because I'm so hyped for the playoffs. I'm going to talk about that more in a little bit. But I also saw some news over the past week that Tom Brady is actually going to be joining a flag football game these upcoming weeks. Or this upcoming year, I'm sorry about that, in 2026. I need to see exactly what it's on, but technically he's unretiring for that reason. And honestly, I don't know. It's going to be like, I haven't seen Tom Brady play in a long time. I finally found the article. It's that he's going to be playing in Saudi Arabia with, you know, fellow NFL stars, including his old teammate Rob Gronkowski and a couple of the guys in the flag football tournament out there in Saudi Arabia. So that's going to be insane to watch. I'm not going to lie. I kind of miss Tom Brady playing. I'm not going to lie. Now, I know that sounds like a sin coming from a Giants and Bills fans. Giants fan because we beat him twice. Yeah, that's something I'm happy about. Even though we suck now, it was a happy time back when I was a kid. But also because he destroyed my Bills for over 20-plus years. But at the same time, when a guy is that great, and when a guy is like the GOAT, he's undisputedly the GOAT of this sport, you kind of miss seeing him play the way he plays the game. Because he's not athletic. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's not some of these quarterbacks nowadays. That dude cannot move whatsoever. But his brain was more powerful than anything else we probably have ever seen. So I kind of missed him play. Obviously, it's not going to be in the patch. We're going to see him play again. But even flag football, you know, Tom Brady, I'll take it. I'll personally take it. But, okay, we'll let that go for now. But I'm going to speak on a topic, an issue that's probably been on sports. It's been more heavily debated over the past couple of years, okay? It's the issue of winning head coaches. Now, if you're a head coach, it doesn't matter whatever sport you're in, right? You would be told that you're keeping for the long run. I mean, that's what happened really in the past, you know, with guys like Phil Jackson. You know, I'm trying to remember, Bill Belichick, you know, all those legendary coaches of the past, they were able to stay for a long time because they had a very good team around them. Obviously, those teams are legends, I'll say that. But now there's an epidemic nowadays to fire a head coach, particularly even after a good season. For example, the New York Knicks fired Tom Thibodeau. For the reason of him not being able to rotate correctly in the playoffs. Maybe that's true, but he got you farther in the last 10 years than any head coach has gotten you, period. In the last 25 years, probably. There hasn't been a team that has been able to get you guys to the point of almost being in the finals. Except for the Patrick Ewing era. That was the last time as a Knicks fan. That sounds stupid. Then you go to Monty Williams. For the Phoenix Suns, he led his team to the NBA Finals, almost won the NBA Finals if his team was able to show up back then. But he got fired literally a year or two later, even though he won, I think it's Coach of the Year. He won Coach of the Year for them and he still got fired. Another case, Mike Budenholzer for the, you know, Milwaukee Bucks. Same case, same finals. He won the finals that year. He's led his team to the playoffs multiple times, and he gets fired and replaced for Adrian Griffin And ever since then, the Bucks have been lackluster whenever it came to any kind of sort of playoff success. And then now I'm going to go over to the WNBA. Obviously, it's different. But they fired their coach, Sandy Brodello. And I think it's so unfair. I think it's so unfair because of the fact that they had a remarkable season. By no stretch of the imagination, they had an amazing season. The problem is, they lost this year. Okay, whatever, that happens. Like, what is the stigma about you having to win in back-to-back seasons in order for you to be a good head coach? I don't know if that's just me talking, but I just don't understand this. I don't know if people know how hard it is, first of all, to win a championship. But to win a second championship is damn near impossible. It's damn near impossible. Because you have so many factors of, like, the players showing up, having the right chemistry. Sometimes it's not your day. There's so much that goes into winning. But yet, the head coach gets blamed for everything when it all crumbles. And even a head coach that has been amazing, amazing for the team. It's not like they didn't make the playoffs. They made it to the first round. They took it to all the way to a game three that they almost won. And yet she gets blamed for it, and she gets fired. Somebody needs to make it make sense. Because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Tell me why she gets fired. But the other losing coaches, like the Chicago Sky and the Dallas Wings, who have multiple good caliber players on their team, don't get fired whatsoever. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, I don't know what our team was thinking. I don't know what the Liberty are thinking here. You let a coach like that onto the market? Who the hell are we going to find that's going to be better? Literally, who's going to be? It's the same thing I say for Tom Thibodeau because, he didn't make the right rotation adjustments when needed. But who the hell else are we going to get? I mean, there was talks about Don Staley going to be in that position. But at the end of the day, well, we all know it's not going to happen now. It's like, damn. It doesn't even matter if you're a good coach now. It don't matter. You can win two championships, or even just a single championship, it doesn't matter, with a team, and you can still be fired. Just gotta think about that, y'all. Yeah, Eric Spoelstra, by the way, I don't know what the Miami Heat are doing right now, but Eric Spoelstra, he's still the guy for the job, I just want to say that. But he hasn't been fired, even though there's been multiple lackluster seasons by him so far. Which is technically not his fault, but at the same time, he doesn't have the players for it, so they just keep on letting it roll right now. But those guys are safe. But apparently a new head coach that goes over there and wins a championship for a team is not. We need to make it make sense. We need it to make some type of sense so we're not dumbfounded by the amount of head coaches that are fired, even though they do a good job. This probably happens in baseball, too. I'm not going to lie. In many cases, why do you think the Nationals have dropped to the lowest in their division? Like, I don't know. Either I haven't been keeping up, I'm not going to lie, with them lately, but either it's a player's issue or either it's a huge, huge coaching issue. So it's been plaguing it. Like, it's been literally plaguing the sport so much. And sometimes it's just frustrating. You know what I mean? Like, it feels just frustrating because it seems like these organizations have no idea what the fuck they're doing. Like, really, I'm excuse my language, but they don't seem to know what the hell they're doing. And it's just pissing myself off. I'll go back to college football because we're going to get back to this. We're going to get back to it. Don't worry. We're really going to get back. But we're going to go over to college football. There's a bunch of green lights right now that are primetime games. Example, Penn State versus Oregon. I love this game because I'm a Penn State fan. I'm a guy that loves my Nittany Lions. I've been loving them ever since I was a kid, bro. There's a problem, though. Oregon might just be better than us. No, not that they might just be better than us. They are better than us. Not in terms of talent. We both are even in talent. But in coaching ability, it just... I can't trust James Franklin on a prime time game. I can't trust dude, bro. I can't. When was the last time? Like, I need you guys to think of this. When was the last time we won a prime time game in the James Franklin era? Last time I can only think of was when we went against Ohio State a couple years back. When we had Saquon Barkley and all those athletic guys. But besides that, y'all, nothing. And it just seems like it's going to be the case this year. Even though we're ranked ahead of them in the polls, we're still going to lose. I really hope I'm wrong. I really do. Because I want to see our team succeed. I never want to trash on a team that I love. But at the same time, I got to be realistic with y'all, bro. I have to be realistic. And it doesn't seem bright for us, even though we have Drew Aller, even though both of our running backs came back and most of our team from last year did come back. It's just in our DNA to not win big time games. As a Penn State fan, I really hope this motto changes. I really do. But next primetime game, happening at the same time, I really wish they spread those times out because it's ridiculous that they're both at 7:30 p.m. But anyways, you got Alabama versus Georgia. This matchup happened last year, and we saw the Tide go out on it. Out on top, they looked like the number one team in the country. They were ranked number one until they faced Vanderbilt the week after. But this game...
Most people don't know how many financial accounts they have, or their net worth. And when you're not paying attention, you're leaving money on the table. The solution is Monarch, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, link all your accounts for a complete picture of your financial health. You'll never need a spreadsheet again. Get 50% off your first year, that's just $50 total, at monarch.com with code BUDGET. That's monarch.com, promo code BUDGET.
Game right now, guys, is going to be the game that probably makes or breaks the Tide season right now. Georgia, I don't think they have anything to worry about. Because win or lose this game, you're still going to be fine. You're not going to be in the panic button. Alabama, on the other hand, will be. At that point, if you lose against Georgia this Saturday, guys, you have no excuses. You have no excuses to lose another game this season. Because we saw what happened last season. Once they lost against Oklahoma, they didn't even make the playoffs. And right now, you're climbing back up the poll after that loss you guys had first week against Florida State. And I'm just saying right now, you better be worried that if you don't win this game against Georgia, that you guys are going to be on a hot seat. Not just the team, but Coach Kalen DeBoer. Excuse me, guys. But you need to be laser focused on this game. You need to be. Because both teams have great talent. Every single year, this game does not disappoint whatsoever. College Game Day won't be at this year. Arguably, Oregon and Penn State will be better. First time I've said that in a sentence, probably. But this is still an SEC game. You gotta take it serious. If I'm a Georgia fan, I'm chilling. I'm being like, I'm watching this game for fun. I expect my team to win this year. But if I'm a Tide fan, I'd be saying to myself, if we don't win this year, there's going to be some problems. Not just in Tuscaloosa, but for everybody on that team. Especially Kalen DeBoer. Your job's on the line. Your entire job is on the line. No cap. You need to be focused on this game like your life is on the line. Because it quite literally is. Anyway, I will come back to that. I'll come back to that again. But I love the scores across the NFL. And now that I got a full sense of where every single team is at right now, I'm able to give a great, you know, review on this season. For my Giants, it's kind of easy. We suck. I mean, we benched Russell Wilson after 3 weeks, it seems. And we just can't get any offense going. Like, our defense isn't the problem, man. Like, we saw that the last couple weeks. Like, in the game against the Cowboys, I think it was because it was Brandon Aubrey that hit that kick to seal our fate. But it hasn't been the defense really recently. It's just been the offense. We can't get anything to go. Like, we every drive, it feels like we punt, field goal, punt. Like, it's just sick. And I don't think it's a Russ issue. I think it's just a general team. We don't have an offensive line. We don't have a capable running back that could give us five every time. We don't have a true wide receiver, too, to go behind Malik Nabers in order to make his life healthy. You know, sometimes I question the decision or play calling of Brian DeBull. What's his name? Brian DeBull? I got it right. But there's so much issues on this team that we have to fix that right now. I just can't even make up a sense of, like, how I say this, to go in a direction for this team to succeed. What I do see is that recently Brock Purdy got injured for the 49ers. Very sad, because the dude is a player right now. But in his place is Mac Jones. And Mac hasn't done really anything impressive, so to say. But he's getting the job done. And right now, as a Niners fan who's praying that Brock Purdy's able to come back later into the season, potentially for a playoff push, right now I'm very much praying that Mac Jones can keep this train running. I always think that being a backup QB in the NFL is the best job, but also the worst job. Because sometimes your starter could get injured. And when your starter gets injured, you're going to be counted on to lead a team to success. Especially in the case with the 49ers. I do think it's going to be great, because you have Kyle Shanahan's system, which, when all of his players are healthy, is an amazing system to be in as a player. So that's going to be interesting. We're also 3-0 right now. So, of course, you know, Brock Purdy helped, I think, in the first week. Mac Jones ever since. Hopefully, we get to see Brock Purdy back in this season. But that's my evaluation right now. And then I want to go to the Cowboys, because the only win that they had that was a good win was against the Giants. They got blown out. When I say blown out, I mean blown out by the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears, guys. The Bears aren't anything special. They're 1-2, too. So that means before going into their week 3 game, they were 0-2. And yet they blew out the Cowboys. Jerry Jones, what the actual hell are we doing? What are we doing? It doesn't seem like you're doing anything, actually. It seems like you're more, well, just standing there saying, oh, well, I think we have a good team, and, you know, I think our players are going to be great. We have to stop the run. Meanwhile, it seems like you guys can't stop nothing. It doesn't seem like you can stop the pass, because Caleb Williams goes for freaking 300 yards and 4 touchdowns. It's just like, it makes me mad. Sometimes I question why the NFL lets some of these owners stay as owners. Because it's just incompetence. You let your number one defender go in the offseason in order to stop the run. Well, you did that. But now your pass game, or pass defense, should I say, sucks. I'd hate to be a freaking Cowboys fan, guys. I would hate to be a Cowboys fan so freaking much right now. I really think it's going to be hard right now for the Broncos and, you know, Raiders and all those teams right now that are in the standings, I believe, in the AFC West right now. Yeah, I'm correct. Because the Chiefs, for the first time in a long time, are the last in that division. Granted, every team in that division is, I think, 1-2, except for the Chargers, who are 3-0. They have great potential to be the number one seed, or one number one seed in my conference. I gotta refrain what I say. But, yeah, it just feels good to see the Chiefs crumble, because I hate y'all very much. But also good to see the Chargers do very well, because it feels like they just were missing a couple of pieces to get there. And I love what Jim Harbaugh is doing in that system, especially for Justin Herbert, who is on my fantasy team. Oula, I love it. And it seems like they're campaigning for one of those top seeds in the AFC. So we're going to see what happens. Obviously, it's a very early sample, guys. I understand. It's only week 3. But there's a lot of decisions to be made right now, especially with the Eagles, because they are dominating. When I say dominating, dominating. Their last 3 games, they won against the Cowboys week 1 in Brazil, I think, which was a fun game. They got to cancel it early, but I don't think it would have made a difference, at least in that game. They had another close game against the Chiefs last week. It was a very close game. It was like 20-17. Obviously, the Chiefs have been on the slope this year. That was a Super Bowl rematch, so obviously we see right there that it wasn't a fluke whatsoever. And then against the Rams this week, it was another one-score game. It seems like for the Eagles this week, or this year, I'm sorry, it seems like they're finding themselves in a lot of one-score games, kind of like how the Chiefs were last year, but instead they're actually winning those games. No ref help, in my opinion, but they are able to rally themselves in a way that no other team in the NFL can. Plus, it helps when you have an unstoppable move. If I had to go with another team that I think... if I had to go with another team that I think could be a very good team, a very unstoppable team that nobody really talks about, it'd be the Vikings. Really, because if J.J. McCarthy turns out to be the player that we all think he can be, they can make noise in the NFC. Let it be known. I mean, they blew out the Bengals this past week. Obviously, I know the Bengals are without Joe Burrow. I know that they are kind of injured this year. Arguably, their season is probably very much done. They have to rely on Jake Browning this season. But right now, the Vikings are going crazy. They even put Carson Wentz in there. I didn't even know Carson Wentz was playing for the Vikings, guys. This is the recent news I just learned. But he's playing for them, and he's been doing pretty well. 2 touchdowns, 200 yards. You know, as a quarterback, we'll take that. The biggest thing as a quarterback you never want to have is 0 INTs. You never want to have that. You never want to have that. So what he's doing right now is insane. Also, what the hell is happening in Indianapolis? This is what makes me cry as a Giants fan. Because every time it seems like we're about to fix the issue, we never do. Example right here, Daniel Jones. Did pretty well, 1825, 225 yards, a touchdown. Jonathan Taylor did a bunch of heavy lifting that day for 102 for 3 touchdowns. Insane game by him on that one. But right now, the resurgence of the Colts is there. They have the assets. I mean, Michael Pittman Jr. also on my fantasy team. I said he's arguably the most underrated wide receiver probably in that entire division. People talk about Nico Collins. People talk about... I'm trying to remember. Brian Robinson for the Jaguars. But the biggest guy that's underrated is Michael Pittman. He never gets talked about, guys. He never does. It's insane to me. He never gets talked about. And that's the thing that makes me so mad. Because this dude, when you give him... I don't think he's been given a good quarterback yet in his career. A very good quarterback for a long time. I don't know if he played with, Phillip Rivers. I don't know if he did. He did get to play against with Carson Wentz at a time, but again, Carson Wentz wasn't really good when he was with the team. It just seems like every time they try and move the needle, we're going to get there. I feel like they are. I truly do. I feel like Pittman is definitely going to get them to where they are. And then for my Bills, honestly, I think we are the favorites right now to win the Super Bowl, either us or the Ravens. I don't know how it's the Ravens after they lost against us. I'm guessing people think they're going to beat us in the playoffs, whatever. But Josh Allen is, proving to everyone why he was the MVP last year. Like, my God. He might do it again a second time, honestly. I mean, this dude has been phenomenal. Like, 213 yards on 22 of 28 passing, plus 3 touchdowns, plus a bunch more on the ground. Then you got James Cook behind him, 108 yards and a touchdown. I mean, that's a philosophy for success. Being able to have a good passing game and running game behind you can make your team absolutely unstoppable. It helps, of course, when you have a guy like Josh Allen, but I think we have to give credit to also our offensive line, which, compared to last year, is miles better right now. Miles better. Like, we're doing amazing this year compared to last year. And that's shocking because we still had a great year last year. We should have won against the Chiefs, but God knows the refs wanted to let them in. But right now, we're sitting at a pretty 3-0. Feel confident right now. I feel great about the standings right now for them. And honestly, they have a real, real shot right now of making a push for the Super Bowl because of all the talent they have. All we need to do, all we literally need to do, guys, is make sure our defense is on point. Because that's what had us lose last year, is the fact that when we are down a guy, it's obviously going to affect the rest of our team. It's the reason why Kaiir Elim got, cut. So it's very much that we have to focus on that and make that important. Otherwise, we're really going to be screwed for ourselves. We're really going to be screwed in terms of what we're able to accomplish as a football team. But I feel confident. I feel confident. We gonna be good. We gonna be good, guys. Also, new news from the U.S. women's basketball team. I haven't said that one before, but Kara Lawson, a former player, is gonna be named the new head coach for the 2028 L.A. Olympics for the women's team, which I think is gonna be remarkable because she has all the talents. We've been marketing her up as a great head coach, which she is a great head coach, especially for Duke. She turned around that team very well, unlike basically any, coach I've very much seen before, and turned Duke into a consistent and powerful women's basketball team. And as a former player, she knows the game. She understands it. She knows how to, coach it, obviously, because her team is fantastic. And I just love this, activity. I love the fact that she's going to be able to, lead this team for the next 3 years into the Olympics. Because Lord knows we need it. Because going into the Olympics, we, as a women's team, I think we have good players, but we need a coach to get us there. You know what I'm saying? I don't have any doubts we're going to win gold. Or any doubts that we won't win gold. I'm sorry. I had to rephrase that. But also on the men's side, I don't know if Steve Kerr will actually be coach. I don't know if he's going to be coach. At least for the next Olympics. He might be. He probably will still be. But I just don't know. Like, would you want that at that point? Or would you want another head coach? Like, I don't know if we had, Eric Spoelstra in the past, but if so, he's also a great coach as well to bring to the Olympics, too, to have him coach there, too, the main head coach, because what's going to be at the next Olympics? We're probably not going to have LeBron, we're probably not going to have Curry, we're probably not going to have Kevin Durant. This is mainly going to be the first Olympics in a long time without those guys. And it's going to be a lot of the young guys having to step up for what the old guys left behind. You know what I mean? And I really want to say that I see, America pulling it out in the end. but we just don't know. Obviously, we know these guys are great players. Obviously, they're the best in the world, but at the same time, you know, the rest of the world has caught up to us. It just is. It's the facts. You know, you want to look at a team that's complete from down to bottom or up to down. Why don't you look at France? I mean, Rudy Gobert, they have plenty of, you know, guard talent that's right now in the NBA. I can't name them right now, but I'll probably put them on the screen right now. Obviously, you know, Victor Wembanyama, you know, generational prospect, probably going to be one of the greatest players of his generation on that team. I mean, and obviously Serbia has, I believe, Jokic or Luka. I probably mix up both of their countries a lot. But also Greece has Giannis. They have a very complete, you know, team there. Then when you look to Germany, they have Dennis Schröder, who right now won the EuroLeague, I'm pretty sure, and the MVP. I mean, talk about a guy probably going to be a Hall of Famer, which probably sounds insane. I'm going to come back to it, though. But all these teams have caught up to the rest of the world. And as, you know, a team from the United States of America, I still feel like we have the ambition to win. I still feel like we can win. But it's a lot harder now. A lot harder than it was in 2012. A lot harder than it was in, you know, 1992. A lot harder than it was all the way back then, you know, years and years ago. Just because basketball has grown worldwide. That's kind of, you know, the gist of it. And everybody else has gotten better, you know. And our team arguably has been getting worse. We don't have those legends like we used to have, which happens with time. But I really hope I'm proven wrong. Now, speaking of Hall of Famer for Dennis Schröder, because some of y'all are going to look at me like, what the hell is this guy talking about? Dennis Schröder in the NBA Hall of Famer? Now, I need to remind you guys, when I say Hall of Famer, right, I'm talking about general basketball Hall of Famer. And in the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, it is all basketball. It's not an NBA, it's not an NBA league Hall of Fame is what I'm trying to say. It's an all basketball Hall of Fame that you could get into, regardless of the NBA or not. You could probably be a street baller that's known all across the world, has a bunch of, you know, rings in all these leagues, and probably can still be in that Hall of Fame. Probably. But for Dennis Schröder's case, how can you not argue it? I mean, he's been dominating in the EuroLeagues for years, practically since 2021. And every single year, he goes crazy in those events. And this year, he happens to win another EuroLeague. I believe he won one before in 2022. Might be wrong. Somebody might fact check me on that. But, you know, whatever. He has all the accolades. Like, as an overseas guy, he has all the accolades. Like, screw his NBA career. Because right now, this guy deserves to be in the Hall of Fame for what he's doing. Especially in Germany. Changed the culture there immediately. And arguably, if he does come back for the 2028 Olympics, he arguably has a great chance of bringing that team back stronger than ever before. You know, past the semifinals probably this time. You got all the, you know, chances in the world. It's right there. It's literally right there. Like, I'm just saying, that's the reason why I'm saying I think he's a Hall of Famer. Don't look at me. I'm not saying NBA Hall of Famer. I'm saying basketball Hall of Famer. But I digress. I also gotta, you know, say something for the people, guys. Say something right here. Because I know my guy is gonna love this. Christian, if you're watching this video, you're definitely going to like this next segment. Oh, guys, I'm so sick. Stephen Curry voted as best American player in ESPN survey, despite being 37 and in his 17th year in the NBA. He was named the best American player over a bunch of guys. Now, I love Curry, and My guy Christian, he probably disagrees, but I don't think he's the best American player in the world. Hell no, I don't. I don't. That title belongs to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, respectfully. How are you not going to say the finals MVP is not the best player in the world? A guy that had a legendary season, MVP, won the scoring title. I mean, has everything you could ever think about when it comes to a basketball player. And won the championship, won finals MVP, brought his team there, yet he's not voted as the best player in the world? I'm kind of confused. I don't even think, you know, this is going to sound crazy. I don't think he's better than Anthony Edwards. I think it's arguable that he might not be better than LeBron James. Arguably, okay? I'm not saying definitely, but it's arguable. I don't think he's better than Luka Doncic. Now, Steph Curry's still that guy. He's that guy. He's that guy. I'm not debating that. I'm not. What I'm debating is he's not the best player in the world. I love him, though. I very much love him. It's all love. But he's not the best player in the world. That goes to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And people need to start talking his name. The fact that I don't even see him. I don't even see him. This is crazy. I don't even see him on the study that I'm getting this info at. I went to another site. I didn't even see Shai's name, man. Best America. Oh, wait. This is the part where I'm stupid. Isn't Shai Canadian? Oh my god. I done rambled about 30 minutes for a player that doesn't even play in this country. I don't know. I remember that just because I saw him with Drake. Now, okay, that makes it difficult. Now that changes my lead on things. Because now, it makes me see like, oh, what do we actually have right here? Obviously, Anthony Edwards, I'm still going to keep that ideologically. Arguably, I need to think. I think Anthony Edwards actually has the talent to be the best in the world. And Tyrese Halliburton and Luka Doncic. I think it's just me and the fact that these are rising players. Also, Jason Tatum, another key guy that I think could be best in the world. I think they're all technically could be better than Curry. I think Curry won the survey just because of the type of player he is and the fact that a lot of people love him. I'm sorry I just rambled around saying Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for, you know, 5 minutes, even though he's not an American player. I keep on forgetting this because I keep on like, ugh, I forgot he was Canadian. But I don't think Curry is the best in the world. Speak what I speak. You know, argue with a wall. That's my take. Anyways, I'm going to keep it short. I don't want this to be too long. But I hope everybody does enjoy this podcast. On another note, we have another interview coming up this next coming week. If you guys didn't check my volleyball video already, make sure to check it out here. We have an interview listed up coming up next week. It's going to be a surprise one. It's going to be for skiing. Make sure to tune in for that one. Subscribe, like video, and I love y'all. Fresh out the frying pan into the fire. I be the music man's number one supplier. Fly it in a piece of paper bearing my name. Got the hottest chick in the game wearing my chain. That's right, ho, ho. Not DOC, but similar to them letters. No one could do it better. I check cheddar like a food inspector. My homie Strick told me, dude, finish your breakfast. So that's what I'ma do, take you back to the dude with the Lexus. Fast forward the jewels and the necklace. Let me tell you dudes what I do to protect this. Shoot at you actors like movie directors. Say the movie, dog.
Most people don't know how many financial accounts they have or their net worth. And when you're not paying attention, you're leaving money on the table. The solution is Monarch, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, link all your accounts for a complete picture of your financial health. You'll never need a spreadsheet again. Get 50% off your first year. That's just $50 total at monarch.com with code BUDGET. That's monarch.com, promo code BUDGET.